W, DATX Mobile, listening 14714. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Jeff. 32 degrees, and how are you this fine Thursday morning so far?
Good morning, Mr. Toadstool. Good to have you on the radio this morning. Everyone needs someone to pick on, and you're my pickin'. Oh, how is it? Day hasn't gone long enough for me to decide yet. I'm not thrilled, but here I am. Yep. All I know is I am so looking forward to this weekend. Nothing planned, nothing to do. I have every intention of maybe putting some gas in the car and going for a drive, seeing what kind of poop I can stir up.
And have that good-looking bride next to you and take her out for a nice dinner somewhere. There you go. Good plan. Good plan. Perfect. Perfect. That sounds like a great time. Yeah. There you go. You know, you got to get out and do something. You can't just sit behind a computer all day, you know, at home. Well, let's see. Nothing going on here. My radio is working great when I have it on APRS. I'm actually just for the handheld. I'm getting into the one that Drake has up over in East Bay. I can't believe just on little 5 watts and the antenna how good it does.
So many things to unpack with that one. Holy cow. Well, first, I believe my wife has to work, so the lovely bride will not be riding with me when I go for a ride. And 9 times out of 10, when I go for a ride, she doesn't go with me anyway. I enjoy just going for a drive, going absolutely nowhere for no reason at all. I just want to go there, turn up the music, and put life behind me. And the wife doesn't care to do that, so 9 times out of 10, if I go for a ride, she's not with me. So, there you go. And I think she has to work this weekend anyway, so there. As for the repeater, I haven't actually used his remote node yet. From what I understand, it works really well, but no, I haven't used it. I get into the repeater there in Traverse City with no problem at all, and I can typically get into this. This is the EOC repeater with no problem. So there is that small spot in between that I should probably get his remote node programmed in here, but I need to go through my radio, pull the stuff off of it, reprogram it, and get it back in here. That way I got a good feel for where things are at. There's been enough repeaters, new repeaters, old repeaters, and stuff that have changed that I need to get in here and change things up. But eventually. So, probably today you'll get a real antenna and get some more than 5 watts and get on here and talk. And that way you don't have to worry about the band conditions as much. You know, you throw only 5 watts, you're going to fade out.
Oh, no, no. What I did is I took my DMR analog Anytone handheld and I have that running APRS. And then on this radio, but yeah, no, there's definitely going to be an upgrade this year. I can't do it anymore. It's getting too bad up there. I looked at the antennas the other day, and I just about cried.
Forgive me if I don't believe you, but you've been saying the same thing for I don't know how many years. You keep buying other radios and stuff, but it doesn't matter how expensive or how nice the radios are. Without a good antenna, they ain't worth a whole lot of anything, so, trust me, I understand that fact, so, and it doesn't mean you gotta have a whole lot of money into it. For anyone that happens to be listening, you don't have to have a $1 million antenna, but you have to have one that works, and, that is my theory behind it, so, you know, it's like having a $1 million car and $5 tires, you know, if you can't go down the road, it doesn't do you any good. It may look pretty.
Oh, I know. I already I know what antenna I think I'm going to get is an X50 diamond, and some coax, and get a bucket truck here, go up to the top, take down the old CB antenna, put that up there, and I'll be back going. I have to. The discount antenna that I'm using right now doesn't look very pretty.
This is more of a personal preference. I don't know if I go a diamond or a comet based antenna. You typically 2 to 3 times what the antenna is. Just to have that on it is almost as bad as buying a Motorola. So, say that, I'm a Motorola guy. Anyway, I would lean more to diamond. You get the same antenna for half the price. So. But, who am I going to say? I need to give them. So there you go. Talk about, I call them black.
I think you ran out of your line there, Jeff. You start dropping out. But, you know, I might look at Amazon, too. I just real edgy with some of theirs, but I have seen a couple on there that, you know, I might, and then get a lightning arrestor. We'll see what happens. I'm still, you know, as soon as the tax money comes in, I think I'm going to order all that and get in there. So, yeah. Well, what's new with you today? What have you been working on at work? I think Jeff found the end of the line.
I don't know about the end of the line, but we found the little hole over here by Veronica. So, but we're getting back here. We'll be using the repeater note. But at this point, I think I'm fine with you there, Mr. Toby. You have yourself a wonderful day. I am going to continue on my way off and, you know, play with some radios, play with some antennas.
Okay, Jeff, talk to you later. Here's your Veronica Van. You're going to go play some radios and the antennas. We'll talk to you later. KCAVSU.
Good morning, Toby. Alpha Charlie 8 Delta Golf on the link system. You sounded really good here.
Alpha Charlie 8 Delta Golf. Kilo Charlie 8 Victor Sierra Uniform on the North Michigan Link.
Hey, good morning, Toby. You know, I was telling you, you're sounding really good here on the Link system.
Yes, I know where Jeff was. He said Veronica Valley, and he says he has trouble in there, and I know that. I'm doing real good, actually, now that we have that remote receiver at Drake's mom and dad. I can get in much better than going right straight to Traverse City. It actually works out very nice.
Ah, very good. Yeah, and I'm glad you're getting to the EPRS. I had to laugh there yesterday. I was watching Jeff's mobile, and he's got the icon for his hearse. I didn't know he brought his hearse back yet, but not very interesting.
Had to wait for the cat meow. when we program my Anytone 878, hold on a minute, Jim, I guess. Sorry, has sneeze come in. When we set it up, when me and Joe sat down and programmed it up, we put APRS and made it active. And then I found where I had to make a change from it being fixed to roaming. That's why I was way over in Japan or something like that. So once I got on roaming, it worked out. And, yeah, it's nice. I just throw it in the truck, take it where I need it. You know, I really am glad having that as a backup. To be able to report. I'm going to do a lot of having that in the truck with me, a lot more. I'll just put it in the back cup holder and forget it's even there.
Hey, it sounds good, and the radio is performing well, now that you're no longer in China. Yeah, that was kind of funny. Okay, well, I'm going to put the radio on scan and listen to your conversations. And I did have to laugh about your disc tone. You know, I think you've had that disc tone ever since I first talked to you over 20 years ago. ACADT 73.
Yeah, the number of elements that are off that thing are crazy. I'm surprised I haven't warmed up or burned up the radio, but I don't run that much wattage. But yeah, no, I'm going to get up top. I've got to get bucket truck in, and I got to have Rapid City. Then I'll get to come over, and we'll take it down, pump the new one, and oh man, it'll be nice. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it. It's just trying to get all the stars to align for me. Things are starting to get a little better. Talk to you later. ACADG, KCAVSU, 73.
Eventually, you just start daily driving Linux, and then you're one of those types of people. it just naturally occurs. Nothing you can do about it. It was predestined for you to do that.
And also, all of that sounds like just your average Windows behavior. So, right on.
Not gonna lie, I don't really like Windows. Like, the only reason why I have it is because, well, all of the, you know, major programming software that you need for Motorola or any other radio, well, it unfortunately only runs on Windows. There are ways around that. I haven't implemented trying to make Turbo CPS work in Linux yet. I believe it's possible through Wine. The only concern is I don't know if the drivers for the devices will work, because you got, you know, the Motorola One Wire driver and, you know, the other stuff for Moto Turbo to work. That is my, I guess that's the next battle, is seeing if I can program a turbo radio on Linux. Because if I can, that would be pretty awesome.
There's a simple solution here.
What is that?
A Windows virtual machine inside your Linux instance.
I don't want to do it that way. I want to make it run natively.
I'm just saying, it's quick heat and it'll work.
Well, I thought about that. The only issue is the machine that I put Linux on, it's an old 2008 MacBook. It doesn't have a whole lot of horsepower, it doesn't have a whole lot of RAM, but it's got enough to make Linux work fine, and most, you know, use cases work fine. You know, you can do web browsing, and I was able to open Steam, and I can stream games to it, and do stuff that like that, play YouTube videos, that does that fine. Virtual machines, I don't know how much that little core studio is going to like that.
Which repeater are you on? Because you're kind of trash right now.
Is this better?
Okay. You're rough getting into it. I may yell, but the noise is starting to win.
Good morning, Adam. KCVSU.
Hey, good morning, Toby. What's going on today?
30 degrees. Looks like we're going to get some sunshine. I just got through my first cup of coffee, so if I'm going to go out and do something, I don't know yet. I have a drink breaking up. Yeah, he might be in Veronica Valley or something, huh, like Jeff is. Hey, I got a question for you or Drake. You guys have the FT5D, don't you?
Yep, I've got one, and I think Drake has one. I don't remember.
Okay. How do you guys like them for doing APRS? I'm just curious. I'm debating sometime this year getting one.
Oh, I love it. I'm not a big Yaesu guy. I've always kind of been anti-Yaesu, if you will. But I currently own an FT5B and this FTM 510 that I'm talking on right now, and I have them almost solely for the APRS functionality because it's that good. Nothing else that I use has anywhere near the ease of use and good quality APRS that these have.
Okay, yeah, I've been watching some YouTube videos on it, and I just want to get some opinions, you know, and stuff, because I know, like, the All-County Search and Rescue Team, they just got, like, 5 or 7 of them on the grant, so they're working on going to APRS. I talked to one of the members here in Antrim County. We were talking because he saw me on APRS. He goes, when did you get APRS? I said, oh, it's got a handheld programmed up. And so they're looking at maybe going to that route too, so when they're out doing a search, they can keep tabs. So, yeah, I'm just checking that out real quick. Drake, if you're in there, go ahead and pick it up, buddy. Go ahead, Adam. I think he's on the end of the line.
I found it. Yeah, Drake, I don't know what's going on there, but you are not making it. Just a couple of quick blurbs and then the courtesy tone a bunch of times. I kept forgetting to switch to the right receiver for the area that I'm in. Okay, I'm making you out now, but still a lot of noise. I'm out towards South Boardman now. Alright, you're getting better. Go ahead and take it. Okay. Now I was going to concur with your thoughts on the APRS function on those radios. I don't really care for the Fusion. Kinda eh. The only issue I really have with Fusion is the floor sound stage. It's just, it doesn't handle different volume levels at all. DMR handles it just fine. P25 handles it just fine. It's all the same vocoder. I don't know what they're doing differently that makes it so bad at handling loud things, but it just doesn't do it. But yeah, the FT5D does really good for APRS. The only issue I have with it is the battery life gets kind of iffy when you run the GPS and APRS at the same time. Might get 6-7 hours. That sound about right, Adam?
Yeah, the FT5D does not have super great battery life. I've actually been looking at buying a couple of spare batteries just for that reason. But the only other handheld that I know of that has the APRS functionality built in like that is the Kenwood, whatever that Kenwood is that has D-Star. And then the FT5D blows that thing out of the water as far as battery life goes. That Kenwood radio, you get like 2 or 3 hours on it and it's dead. I never liked that radio. But, yeah, I mean, you're certainly not going to get, you know, 10, 12 hours on the FT5D running APRS. You're going to have to either have a charger or a second battery.
Well, I'm going to blow you guys right out of the water. That any tone, because it's not standing, I have a lock just on APRS. It does pretty good, believe it or not. You know, I mean, it's sitting over in the window. Oh, no, it's still in the charger, but I could go 2 days, 3 days almost on a full battery charge up. I mean, for what little it's doing, and it's just strictly doing the APRS. I've got locked on there, and I've really liked the supply of that. It's just unbelievable, but yeah, I know a lot of comments on YouTube were get the bigger batteries. People are making them too and stuff, because I had to do that with the FT70 as well. So there we go. Okay, guys, well, hey, I'm going to let you go. You guys keep continuing on, but thank you for your views and opinions, gentlemen. And over to you, Drake, NADMH, KCAVSU.
Alright. I've got the app in the background so I can tell what I'm listening to. So if you hear, if it sounds like I'm on a CD, that's why. But just rolling into South Boardman proper here. So probably about
25 miles out from the machine right now. And I'm on the local receiver, so once we get another voter that covers out this part, coverage should be a lot better out this way, because I can hear it fine. What have you found for those extended batteries, Adam?
They're not making it. And an APX on it, DMA.
Hey, sorry guys, I had the phone ringing and I just pulled into the office, so I'll be back in a minute, and it APX.
Okay, alright,
DMH. Alright, have y'all moved into your new place yet?
Nah, it's not happening until the end of the month.
Ah, okay, yeah. No, but like I say, that Anytone does a pretty good job just on APRS. I mean, I'm really surprised how well that battery is. It's like, what, 3,000 milliamp hours or something? It actually does pretty well. I'm impressed.
Yeah, it doesn't do too bad. I do think the APRS implementation on that radio could be improved. The way that the FT5 does it is it's fully featured. The receive function works phenomenal. You can actually see all your stations come up. Sometimes with for any tone, it just sometimes doesn't show up. The messaging support's kind of not there. The FT5 it's got all of it. And it does it pretty well.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I have to go in the menu, go to messages, and I could see all your tests you gave, but I haven't learned how to text back yet. But you know what? It's got it, but yeah, it doesn't even show up on the screen that I have a message on APRS at all. So that's one problem, but hey, I'm on APRS, that's all that matters.
Yep. There you go. It's kind of fun. That stuff that the Anytone is doing with APRS could be improved with a firmware update. Whether or not they will do that firmware update is a good question.
Right. Plus, they've got two radios out that may have it improved, too. They've got that Maverick and a few others. So I think they've got one with NXDN on it, even. On one of the radios, you can go from DMR down to NXDN. I don't know which radio it was, one of the new handhelds they came out with, but I was like, wow.
Yeah. It was kind of neat. I haven't seen a NXDN AM rig before. That was kind of neat to see. It only does alternero, so the 6.25 kilohertz bandwidth mode, so the audio isn't quite as good as 12.5, but I also have no experience with those. I'm almost thinking about grabbing one, but not for a while until they figure out the stuff.
Yeah. Okay, great. You're at the end of the line again. We'll talk to you later. WRW257 KCADSU. Sorry, wrong call sign there. Talk to you later.
NADMH and NADX. Nope.
Okay. I'm in.
Hi, I can understand you.
Yeah, I'm kind of in a spot where I can't hear 2-6 anymore, and I can hear the 700, but it can't hear me.
What are you headed to today?
Roscommon.
Ah. We need to get a repeater there.
I'm trying.
I know Chuck snagged one for them out of the pile. I don't know if it made it down there or not yet.
I don't know. But we've got a nice antenna at the Sheriff's Department / Central Dispatch. It's not being used for anything. So, it's not super high up on the tower, but it's something.
Well, pitter patter, let's get at her. Be kind of nice.
Well, I don't have any direct contact information with their group, so the way it's been going is I put a bug in their IT director, their central dispatch IT director's ear, which goes to the this is the 911 picture, and then I don't know where it goes.
I think I have the shoot, what is that term? EC. Wow, brain fart this morning. I think I have their EC's email and contact info. I know Chuck does for sure, but I think I have it from way back in the set. I should look and send it to you.
Okay. All righty, well, then, shoot that over to me. I'll offer them some assistance. Sorry, it was a call, car hauler on the side of the road. He's in a real convenient place. Hopefully I can... I'd like to help them out to get something over there for them, because I know they don't really have much. The only thing they've got near them, repeater-wise, is the 700.
Yeah, when I get stopped, I'll look and see if I can find that. Yeah, it would definitely be nice.
And I know the county really, but if the county or if the AMS wanted to put a repeater at the county building, I don't think it would be an issue because the county really supports them. Their emergency manager is all about it, so it's got to help them out, make it happen, I guess.
Yeah, that's the way I understood it, too, is they've got pretty good backing from their county admin. So, yeah, got to get it done.
Yep. And we got our meeting this weekend, don't we? Where's that next?
We've got what?
Meeting.
That's next Saturday. I believe it's the 14th.
Yep, I figured that out now.
That should be a good one. A couple new guys coming.
some 800 stuff. Should be a good time.
Watch the whole, the zone controller will die the same day.
Great. Everyone gets a lesson on site trunking.
I think we should probably just do that lesson in general. Let's do all of, go through how it works, how your signal propagates through the system, and what to do when the radio says site trunking or stuff like that. Man, there's like a speed cop every 5 miles.
Yeah, they've been roaming around. It was a trooper last night hanging around in town in Sheboygan, making stops left and right, and every person he nabbed had had a 10-9, and they were booking them in.
Oh, dude, I bet the COs loved that guy.
Well, and simultaneously, while that was going on, the city police made two different 54-2 arrests.
Oh.
So that intake up there at the county building was, that was pretty high traffic there for about 4 hours last night. They were bringing them in left and right.
It's not a very big jail either.
No, it's not. It certainly is not. They had one. Advise and release unless local charges. And they're like, hang tight, breathalyzer. Okay, now he's got local charges.
Oh my God, you're just trying to find every reason.
And they were like, they were charged that were smelling blood in the water last night, I swear.
Oh man, that's pretty funny. Yeah, we don't have him for any charges. Advice release. Here you go. You got charges now, buddy. Oh, man. I bet the night shift was just having a heck of a time.
Yeah, I would say. That is the funniest thing to me. That is a post-COVID thing if I've ever heard it. Advise and release. Advise and release. Pre-COVID, never heard that.
Well, I know that COVID really didn't do a good number on a lot of the mental health on many individuals, so that probably did have part of that.
Well, during COVID, they didn't want to intake anybody unless they absolutely had to. I mean, during the height of COVID, there was many, many times where it was, even if it was local stuff, it was like, nope, advise and release. We'll find them later. And that seems to have stayed the course since COVID.
Well, that's even more fun. Oh, they just don't want people in their jail.
I guess. Something like that. I don't know, it's just weird to hear. Yeah, subject's got a 10-9 out of, you know, Oakland County or something, and but it's a statewide pickup. All right, well, can you check on that for me? Yep, hang on. Oakland County says advise and release. Okay.
Well, that's because they're too freaking lazy to get off their ass to want to make the pickup.
That's probably it, too.
Yeah, I wouldn't have to want to do, like, work or anything.
They do it down.
Not like they don't have.
Oh, you know, we'll get a 10-9, and they'll say. Oops, sorry. I thought I was keeping a straight. I was like, you get a 10-9 and it'll be, you know, Pontiac or Livingston. No, Livingston will usually do it, but I'll do a pickup. Even though it's a statewide, yeah. Heaven forbid they drive the 25 minutes north over to meet. In fact, we usually do meets if it's reasonable. You know, 75 or something. Drive over to 75. No, buys and release.
I was going to say, that's usually what happens here is they do a county line pickup if it's within their, you know, if it's like a statewide or within their 25 or 100 mile pickup, they'll just do a meet somewhere and they'll just be halfway. It's usually how it goes, but I mean, when it's all the way down, you know, the south end of the state, I mean, yeah, I can see that, but at the same time, how does Oakland County not have enough deputies to spare for that kind of a situation?
I don't know. But that's the thing, is if it's a statewide pickup, you would think that it would be substantial enough to warrant the drive north. It's just weird. Yeah, statewide pickup. Guys, release.
Statewide pickup. Yeah, maybe. I think it's like we just want to click the box. It's easier to say statewide than put, you know, 50 mile or 100 mile on it. So they just put it all there anyways. Because, I mean, yeah. Oakland's pretty big on that one. Every now and then you'll hear one for Livingston. Always, whenever I hear them, they're pretty decent. Unless it's like a traffic or a traffic type of thing. But other than that, they're definitely, they'll come and grab. But yeah. It's not just because you guys up there. I hear, we have it down here a lot more too. The other one we have is the jail won't take unless it's felony.
Yeah, I hear that one a lot too with us. Well, will you hold on that? No, we won't hold on that.
Hey. Drug charges. We don't want them, it's fine.
Yeah, it's like, so we, and for the longest, at least in the Fenton City, we've had our, we've got two holding cells, and because the jail would, we've had it for the longest time, but it used to be we would just hold them there temporarily till, and then take them up to the county, but they stopped taking, you know, shoplifting and any of those types of crimes. So we just start lodging them in our jail overnight, and so that, you know, they'd get Taco Bell, and that, you know, here's your meal, and there you go.
That's a really great way of reducing the crime rate.
Well, if we treat them nicer, maybe they'll be nicer when we let them out.
Well, it did have, I don't want to say some effect. It did, it had some, but not like the it was negligible. Yeah, negligible, because Fenton, we're right, you know, we got 23 running right through the middle of us. So they'd hit the Walmart or the Target and try to make it to the highway because we're on the edge of the county. But did it make some changes? Maybe a little bit, but not that. These people didn't care. They're going to steal and try to get back up to Flint or run to Howell or whatever. So they're still doing it. I remember the one that they rent. We've been getting the gangs of U-Haul guys. They'll rent a U-Haul and do a bunch of hits and chase the U-Haul north on the highway. Got it off at just north of Grand Blanc Road, and they all took off running through the field, and yeah. It had maybe a little effect, but not much. Not for very long, because they don't care. They'll just keep coming and stealing.
There's probably some metrics out there that say, well, yeah, they stole $1,000 worth of stuff, but we're going to spend $5,000 in manpower and resources and blah, blah, blah. And there's probably some metrics out there that says we're still saving money if we just don't pursue this.
Yeah, it's all about money now. Oh, well. It's just enabling. That's the thing. You enable it, it doesn't stop. If you do something about it, you might make an impact.
I will say, the LPs in the stores are getting pretty sophisticated on their trespassing and databasing and, you know, case management from them, and picking out targets and sharing that data, like, between stores is pretty cool. That, but here, you know, when you hear them say, okay, we got eyes on someone who's, you know, hit three different stores in the area, and we've got them on, you know, camera, we're watching them, they haven't, you know, they're loading up, getting ready to probably do it again, so have, you know, PD stage here, and that way we can get them. That's been pretty effective, too, the intel side of it.
And at APX. Yeah, I just stumbled across a couple of videos the other night about, you know, your big brand box stores are starting to integrate, like, facial recognition into their camera systems for stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You know, if local PD can't track them down and, you know, get charges and make the charges stick, prosecute and stuff like that, well, all right, going to take things into our own hands. We're going to invest the money into identifying these people and, you know, stopping it before it happens. I mean, I get it.
You don't really let it happen so often. You know? And it's kind of, yeah, I mean, what's pretty neat is how they're implementing that now with loss prevention. Probably using case identification now on their faces. Makes a whole lot of sense.
Well, and that's, you know, because the burden is, the more back-end legwork you can do for the officer, it'll help with convictions and cases and, you know, those types of things, because there's, yeah, we only have so much budget. So, no, the LPs are starting to get really, really good getting data, evidence, and making those calls and using the public safety resources for what they need to have them used for, and so, but it's still happening a lot. People still be criming, you.
Yep, people still be criming. I don't think that'll stop until the end of time. I don't know. Yeah, they get pretty good. I can remember 20 years ago, at least at our Walmart, loss prevention was like one guy, and if you spent any more than 5 minutes in Walmart, you knew who he was. Because, you know, he'd go out in plain clothes and wander around, and, you know, you'd be sitting there looking through cereal boxes or something, and be like, oh, yeah, hey, he's checking me out, cool.
Now, you don't have a clue. If they rotate people in and out, and they've gotten much more sophisticated in their tactics. Definitely some big improvements.
Yeah, I was going to say, compared to what Walmart was like 10 years ago, you would know. Now, you have absolutely no idea. Like, I mean, you know he's got the cameras all around, but you don't know the loss prevention guy. It's like, they've really stepped up their game on that.
Pay no attention to the man in the back room hiding away who you never see, who is plain clothes all the time now, too.
What always gets me, though, is the high ticket or the probably high loss items. They always put those little bubble cameras around, but they don't go to anything. They're just there for a deterrent, but if you look real close at them, they're not wired up or they don't have anything that, you know, they're just there for a deterrent. I get a chuckle out of those.
Yeah, sometimes they'll even have little blinky lights.
Yes, because blinky lights make all the difference in everything. That's the thing. The little LED, man, you better be watching it. It's going to get you. Tell you something. Oh my gosh, it's too early to be up. Is it raining up there?
Bright, beautiful sunshine. I think when I woke up, it was 30 degrees. Shoot, it was almost 60 here yesterday. I was loving it. I think we're on track for more of that today. But I've already got the shades on and the visor down and the sun is shining.
That's about on par over here. It's 33 right now, but it's not sunny, but there's a little bit of clouds, but, you know, you can see the sunrise. It's not bad. By the end of the day, I can open the window a little bit. That would be nice. Just rolling into Roscommon here now. I need BMH Mobile.
Oh, the tower cameras are all fogged. It looks pretty foggy and dark at the cabin. And we're sitting at 41 right now here, down here, so it's raining and foggy, but hopefully, yesterday was pretty nice. I was driving most of the day yesterday, so had the windows kind of, you know, cracked, and we were mid-50s or just, you know, lower to mid-50s, it was like, oh, this is kind of nice.
Yeah, I think the highest I've seen yesterday was like 57, and it was pure sun. I even had to pump the air on for a minute, just in that transition from turning the heat off to going, man, is it hot in here. Rolled the window down a little bit. It was kind of nice. I wouldn't mind some of that rain, though, just to knock down some of this snow, because I'm over it. Well, I am about a mile out from my destination. Got to go put a Sawzall to a shower valve because it's corroded and doesn't want to come apart. So cut it loose and put on a new one. Here on a little bit, in at APX.
Hey, I'm just pulling into Sheriff's office here. We'll be back later. I just got to reprogram a radio, so won't be too long. ATMH Mobile.
Yeah, they finally finished splicing my fiber cut, so came back about 18 minutes ago, so I'm just load testing it, and it seems to be okay, so yeehaw. Good morning, gentlemen. W8FSM.
N8C on mobile.
Morning, Joe.
WFS.
Hey, morning.
How are things up there? Things down here are 28 and clear, but I expect that to improve.
Oh, it's 41 degrees down here where I'm at.
Oh, are you in there off?
No, I'm sitting at my desk at home here. I'm in Bois Blanc.
Oh, okay, okay. I was thinking that thing in Muskegon was happening this week. Maybe I'm wrong about that, though. I was going to try to go and left it on my calendar and noticed it recently, so. Oh, well.
No interops going on right now. Well, I think they're doing the last closing ceremonies and all that, but I think most people are cutting out this morning anyways.
Bad tracks. Okay. I almost made it. Actually, I almost made it a couple years in a row when it was here, but, you know, things. Funny, the more time passes, the more the inclination to go changes.
Yeah, I'm not really a fan of the venue. Yeah, so today, breakfast was from 7 to 8. They're having a encryption standards update, a break at 8 o'clock. 8:45. Break from 8:40. Well, they have to have a break. Wow, one thing and then they need a break. Building a unified voice, integrating PIOs into statewide interoperable communications. Then another break. Then they're doing the frozen but connected communications during the Northern Michigan ice storm. That's 10 a.m. to 10:45. Then they go to the break. What the hell? Someone calling. Really, dude?
Well, that sounds super exciting, except for the fact that they have more breaks in a day than I get in a week. So. Oh, well. Jake must be out there somewhere. APRS is popping off again. Well, I think today is going to be the last day of, well, we've got a project to collapse Layer 3 and Layer 2 into a single infrastructure layer at our campus, and I think I'm doing the last few things on that today. So that'll be fun. Having a big push for return to the office, and we decided to re-architect and remove a lot of the unnecessary complexity, so it's going pretty good.
My 123 had a fiber cut. They finally got it fixed and re-spliced about 8 a.m. So I was doing testing and that's cleared, so that's fixed. I have a hard drive I gotta go upstairs and grab and try to pull data off. A user decided to use their laptop bag and laptop as a to dump their water out. They thought they were pouring their cup, their Stanley cup, in the drain and poured it into the laptop bag.
I mean, my work laptop is kind of hot trash, so I guess I can see how that mistake can happen. I mean, you know, as things do. That's pretty good, though. It's a new one.
Yep. So, I went to the office yesterday, the peer office, where it was, or the user was. She was given a different laptop from somebody else the night before. And I figured I would just, you know, go there, grab the damaged laptop, finished setting her up on that laptop. I had to pick some other stuff up there to go to another office anyways. I get there and I go, okay, where's the water log guy? And she goes, oh, I gave it to Jen. She took it to Fenton with her this morning. Why? I'm like, we're in Lapeer. She goes, well, I figured it would be closer to where you live. I said, I don't live in Fenton anymore. I haven't in 3 years. Oh.
What's that lyric? Seasons change and so did I. Need not wonder why. Oh, well. Something about the road somewhere is paved with its intentions in some alignment. I don't know. Yeah. Well, at least we're done with all the high cap stuff. Like, what really got on my nerves a few weeks ago now is one of our providers for dark fiber data center internet point to point and campus connectivity. We wanted to upgrade one circuit. So they build it for the middle of the day. I'm like, cool. These are redundant. We can do it during the day. And then we get an hour into it, and he's like, okay, well, all your circuits are going to go down when I do this, so are you ready? And I'm like, say what now? We're doing one circuit, the least important of all of these. He's like, well, yeah, I know, but we have to reboot, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, so yeah, we're backing out now, because at no point during this week's long engagement did you guys let us know that anything other than the circuit being worked on was going to be impacted. And it's also during the day. And yeah, they're all redundant, but it's also during the day, so no. So that was fun. And then literally the week after that, our other provider, same setup, same manifest of deliverables, four different circuits, we're working on the least important one. And, of course, they had different equipment at the site, so that's nice. They got to the point where they were only going to impact the one circuit that we were having upgraded. And then all of them went down about 20 minutes later. And I'm like, yo. Of course, this is at night, so I'm like, oh, sorry, our guy at the head end moved the wrong thing. So, I mean, you know, last week I seriously considered starting to spike my coffee in the morning because I'm just getting tired of this.
I was like, you're back to the office now, aren't you? So, yeah, I was like, you gotta keep that stuff down in the bottom right file drawer. That's where we put it in all of our rooms. Some people have taken to putting mini fridges in for their, because they'll just have the light stuff and then the hard stuff in the cupboard. We got little mini fridges, and you can tell who's got their mini fridge full. If you go past the bottle, the row of water, there's other things behind the water.
I don't know. If I get any more of this stuff, I might start. Yeah, we started with some select teams this month officially. We've been sort of doing it before that, in, you know, ramping up to the full deployment, but I guess April is the month where everyone's coming back. So we'll have butts in seats once again. It'll be fun.
I still got butts in seats. Never really gave up butts in seats. I mean, I've always, even when I lived in Fenton, I didn't really go to the audit, 3/4 mile away. I still worked out of the house most of the time, but that was even pre-COVID. Oh, excuse me. But yeah, we have the ability for people, like, in the height of it, you know, we did probably a month or two of where even, like, designers were, or not even, a couple months of designers being remote. And even then it was, we still had people in the office because there was still, you know, and then the plant wasn't any different. Plant, we never, you can't work from home in the plant, let's put it that way. so that was a non-starter at the plant, but reporters and everybody else, we all got the ability when the VPNs, always on VPNs, got deployed and that sort of stuff, so you can work from anywhere basically, but you're still supposed to have your butt in the office. There's none of that work from home. You can do certain things, but we're probably 90% everybody's back in now.
Yeah, NHCN. About a decade ago when I worked for Munson, our manager at the time was like, we're IT, we need to be on the bleeding edge. I want to encourage you guys to work from, home or really wherever. Like, he's like, we have the technology, it's not new. You can do almost everything that you need to do from a laptop with VPN. So he's like, I want us to set an example, and I want you guys to do that. So yeah, we had our IP soft phone and our, tickets and coding and all that stuff was just all remote, and it worked great. And so when COVID hit, they had looked to our team and said, this team is already like fully functional remotely. Let's buy more of those licenses and increase what we need to increase. So they did, and it was fine. Like, it took a while to get to the fringes of the departments and stuff, but really the heavy lift there was actually touching everyone's device in the way they needed to be touched to deploy the things, and then the education piece. Like, those are the challenges. So, but it was kind of cool to be in that position where we had been leading for a few years, and then when it mattered, we already had all the problems solved. So, and you know the nature of our work. Like, you got to be here anyway for some stuff. Like, so when they told us here, which, we've been remote first for years here too, but when they said, yeah, we're bringing everybody back and you got to be here at least this many days a week, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm doing that anyway because I literally work in the data center. So, like, most of the stuff can be remote, but, like, I can't, we don't have a robot with an arm that can patch cable. We have a robot, but it doesn't have an arm and it can't move fiber. So, like, I'm doing that. I'm configuring ports. I'm running MPO. Like, that's me. So, like, I'm already there. It doesn't matter. So, it affects me very little. Every once in a while, I'll get McDonald's. That's about it.
WSM. No, it's very little change for me from the work from when we started pushing the work. I mean, I first had deployed, we had OpenVPN out for that, but I switched off from that after a few months to zero tier, to do the zero trust and always on and such. But the, I can't support, I design, everything's been designed so that I have LTE backup into things. I have a separate OOB network for management. But the only thing I can't do is, like what you just said, change hard drives, patch something. If a drive fails in like Greenville or Fair Plains or Grand Rapids, I just drop ship the replacements. If they're out of replacements, and I have someone to, I say, you go here, open and unlock the thing, and we FaceTime, and they change the drive, because I'm not going to drive 3 hours to, or four, well, be 4.5 hours round trip to change a hard drive. But I can power cycle, I can reboot, I can do all sorts of things. But, you got to put that stuff in place. But it didn't matter if I was in the Fenton office. I'm working on stuff in three other offices, so, one change I did make when we first started, when COVID, the work-from-home thing, I pushed OpenVPN out first, and there were two endpoints you could go to for termination, and I got away from that and went to the zero tier probably a few months after that. So that was probably my only COVID hiccup. I should have just waited, you know, a couple more days of testing the Zero Tier, but they were like, no, we need to push it now.
That makes sense. Oh, I got to put a bug in Drake's here. I wanted to wait for this one to drop locally, because about, you'll like this, about maybe 8 seconds after you start talking, 2-6 here in TC gave its node number and said time out. Of course, it was talking over you, so I could still hear you. And then the carrier dropped. And I was like, that's interesting. I switched over to 3-4 and listened to the rest on Benzy. About halfway through, I'm like, I wonder what happens if I try to key up right now. So I did. And it brought 2-6 back, so now I'm confused. That was strange behavior, and I don't understand it. I'm sure if I go look at the logs, then I'll understand it. But anyway, thought you might find that interesting. But yeah, there were a few things they got their wires crossed with. So, I mean, there were other things that weren't smooth, but our VPN game was solid at the time, so that's kind of what mattered. Everything else was just built on that, so I guess we lucked out. I'm going to fold up my antenna and go park in the parking deck and find my impact driver and have another fun morning.
Well, that's how the timeout timer works. So if you hear node timeout and quickly key back up locally, boom, it'll clear that out for you on the timer and hit it again. That's normal, so he just has to check his timeout timer or disable it. But, alright, have fun. I think I've only got another hour and a half left until I have my 40 for the week. And then I can do whatever the hell I want to do. Yep, 1 hour 17 minutes it says until I hit my 40.
Woohoo!
Yeah, I'm probably pretty close myself. I'm unfortunately not in the position where if I hit my 40, I stop. I usually hit my 50, my 58, 60-ish. And then things get quiet, and then I can stop. I'm doing it wrong. Anyway, feels like I'm getting stuff done anyway, so that's fine. All right, have a good one, sir. Keep the shiny side up. NACM.
Commodore 64 games and stuff like that, or MS-DOS, like all the, like,
pretty cool retro stuff. Like, all just, they're in free play mode, so you don't have to, like, swipe a stupid card and reload it all the time.
Well, when you open up shop, I'll have to come visit.
I don't know if I'll be able to make it happen. It's probably going to be a while until I can do anything like that, but it's a cool concept. Hey, you can do anything you set your mind to. You'll get there. Yeah, this part of Michigan doesn't really have a really good arcade. I mean, Lansing's got one. East Lansing's got one that's pretty okay, but they don't have anything that, they don't have their games in, like, free play mode, and you don't buy a pass. You still have to pay for all the games, and they're, like, they're kind of expensive, but a flat rate and all the games in free play sounds awesome.
Yeah, something like that might do pretty well over in your neck of the woods, over in Traverse City. I don't think it'd do too well over here. Just not enough people to do the things.
Yeah, it's definitely like an only a Traverse City, like, area kind of thing that would really work. I don't know. I mean, you might be able to make it take off in Petoskey, but not as well as it would in Traverse. I know that for sure, especially during the summertime.
Yeah, I don't know if it would do in Petoskey or not either. Petoskey is such a weird area. I do see we're getting a cottage and pizza here in Petoskey. I just passed that this morning. I had no idea.
I've never heard of cottage and pizza. Is it, like, special?
A chain, like Hungry Howie's and Little Caesars. You know, I mean, that kind of chain, but they're all downstate. I'm surprised we're getting one here.
I'm not going to start jumping up and down until we get a Portillo's or a Panda Express.
Yeah, there you go. You know what I didn't know Traverse City had until, like, the last time I was over there, and I hate that I didn't know it was there. You guys got a Papa John's.
Oh, yeah, we've got a Papa John's for, like, ever.
I don't know why, but that is, like, my favorite pizza place. I know it's not that great, but for whatever reason, it scratches that itch for me. And I think 98% of it is the peppers that come with it in the box.
My favorite pizza place is Paisano's on Front Street.
You know, we went to, I can't even tell you the name of it. We went to a pizza place when we were having our youngest down there, when we were staying down there for a couple weeks. I can't remember what it was called, but it was a sit-down restaurant. I want to say it was kind of over in the neck of the woods over there by, like, Glenn's office. Kind of that area. I might be completely wrong. I don't know the back end of Traverse City very well, but they had tons of stuff on the walls. And it was some dang good pizza. And I think there was somebody in there playing live music, too.
I'm trying to think of what you're trying to, I don't know. It wasn't like a bar or anything. Was it?
There may have been a bar in there, too. I don't really remember. It was kind of in, like, a strip mall area.
I don't know.
That's cool. Me neither. I know it's got to be one of the more popular places. I think we picked it based off our reviews, and it was highly reviewed, so I'm sure if I had the name, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I eat there 3 times a month, or you know what I mean? I don't know, but it was pretty good.
Is it over by Little Fleet?
I don't know where that is, so maybe.
Little Fleet's on Front Street. right across from Paisanos. Do you know where roughly it was?
No. I know that when we left the Munson parking lot, we didn't go downtown. We didn't go down towards Front Street. We went the opposite direction. Just kind of some back roads. It was kind of over in that area. We didn't drive far. Maybe 5 minutes down the road, and it was in some kind of like shopping center area.
I have no idea.
I don't either. It's neither here nor there. I think the walls were green. Anyway, yeah. Now I'm just hungry.
Yay, pizza time.
I'm doing the diet thing again. I have been since end of December. Down 30 pounds.
Oh, that's an improvement.
Yeah. Feeling better. Diet, gym, the whole nine yards. Just trying to not be, you know, the way I am. With the Fire Academy stuff and joining the fire department, I'm like, I don't want to be, like, second story up on a house, interior, and, like, go into cardiac arrest and then have to be drug out of a burning house. I don't want to be a liability, so I got to get my butt in shape.
He wants to not be the stereotypical American.
Correct. I want to be not that.
There you go. Wow, this guy's probably got. Yeah, this guy's got quite the sledding hill. You know that house that's just north of Scott Road, right up on that hill there?
No. Where are you at?
Just turned on the 131 from Thumb Lake Road.
North or south?
North.
Oh, you're coming my way. No, I can't say. I don't get down that way all too often. And when I do, I'm usually not paying attention.
Oh, dude, this guy could put a ski lift on this hill. And, like, he could sell lift tickets. It's that good.
Well, that is the mountain region. It's probably why they put a ski hill a couple miles to the south.
Quote unquote mountain.
It's a big hill, identifying as a mountain. They even call it Boyne Mountain.
And then they call the highlands, well, the highlands.
Yep. Great way to take a big hill and make money off of it. And boy, do they ever.
Oh, they make so much bank off of that, especially with how many people are there every day. Like, holy crap. There's some days where you can't park anywhere, and, like, skiing down the hill is terrifying because you're worried about somebody just not paying attention to where they're going and absolutely annihilating you.
Yeah, I don't do those activities. I would hurt myself. No. Just no. No thank you.
I do it because I can't.
Yeah, I'm in no way, shape, or form coordinated enough for that. I'll pass. Tried to
snowboarding once too. The instructor left me on the hill. I'm that bad. Yeah, just come on over. Yeah, just take the front bumper right off my van. No problem. No turn signal, no nothing. Oh, and guess where they're from? Ohio. I don't know what you said, APRS covered you. I said Ohio. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Stereotypical Ohio driver. Yep. We're coming up the hill from the double light there in Petoskey, headed towards Kilwins, and it goes down to one lane, and apparently they didn't get the message on that. They decided last second they were going to try and take my front clip off. You know, average Ohioan behavior. I know a guy that ended up going straight in the right lane. It didn't end well. I'm going to have to turn down my beaconing on this radio. Just about every time you talk, it covers you. After a while, you just kind of get used to it, and you get better at piecing together the missing information. Which I do, but whatever you said the last time around, the main important part of it was right when the APRS went off. Oh, I was saying that I know a guy, one of my friends actually, went straight in the right lane. It did not end well. Ooh, yeah, no, that would not be good. You would wind up in the grass, or in the snow in this case. He was also kind of flying. It was ugly. Yeah, I don't doubt that. I don't know. I guess that's just a sign of things to come. It must be spring. Not 2 days in, and I'm already getting cut off by somebody from out of state.
Oh, boy. It's coming up on 131 and M75 light right now.
Yeah? What are you coming up here for?
Take a guess.
Emmett County Jail.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Well, at least you got stuff to do. I did my one call for the day, and now I'm headed back to the shop. Slow times right now. Temperate weather and not a lot going on. I'm actually okay with it. It's been so busy, I'm fine with it being slow right now. In fact, lay me off. I'd love that.
Yeah, you would, but your bank wouldn't. Dude, what is up with all of the state cops? There's like another two of them right there. I've seen 15 total today.
They're looking for you. Gonna get you.
I'm not worried.
I see MSP Siren for MPSCS stuff up in Marquette. That's the closest one I've seen. Everything else is always down in Lansing, Diamonddale, you know. Whoever that is up there must have retired.
I don't know. Either that or they left, or one of the guys left or something like that. I don't know. I don't really pay attention to a whole lot up there. I only know one of the guys up there. Dell.
I think this is the lead job. Oversees all of it. The radio system up there and the install work in the MSP cars and everything.
Oh, so maybe, maybe Dell did retire then. I don't know.
Get after it, man.
I don't really know if I want to live in Marquette.
It's better than living in Lansing.
I don't really want to live there either.
Me neither. I tried it once. 0 out of 10, don't recommend.
Entering Emmett County.
And 8ATX in the mobile. Well, I'm sorry you had to come to Emmett County.
Yeah, and 8DMH mobile. Whatever. I just saw a guy just chuck his Yeti out his window. That was an expensive mistake.
He probably left it in his car for too long and it was gurgling things. I've done that. Clean the van out and find an old tumbler like that. Oh, is this salvageable? Open it up. Nope, that's going in the garbage.
You might need to burn it first.
I hate when that happens. It's like, I knew this existed, but I have not seen it in 3 months. It's been at the bottom of the pile. And it no longer is going to work. Let's pitch that.
Yeah. That's why I stopped using those. I would set it down and it didn't really ever fit in the cup holders. So I would set it in the seat and then it would fall underneath the seat. And then I would forget about it. And then I would find it again. And I'd be like, oh no, Houston, we have a problem.
There's a science experiment growing in the bottom of my cup.
Let me take it to the science fair.
Well, just double checking my schedule here again. Yep, nothing new. Go take a nap.
I wish I had that luxury.
Two. I'll be tasked with doing items around the shop, I'm sure.
Start recapping inventory for the 15,000th time.
No, we have a shop lady that does that. And she'd probably kill me because I'd throw her numbers off.
Mopping the floor.
That could be on the table. We'll see.
There you go. Intertown Road. That's quite the road name.
Yeah, that's the crash capital of Petoskey.
Yeah, I see that. Watch for traffic, 35 miles per hour.
There's almost a wreck there every single day.
Now that does not surprise me. Oh, wow. You know that four bay that used to be at the top of the CCE tower? Yeah, it's gone now.
Yep. It's been leaning for a while. That actually broke before the ice storm. That was like a year or two prior to the ice storm. It was like a really windy day and that thing started leaning over and I got a hold of Chris and I'm like, hey, that's about to go. And we were off of it at that point, so it just got left.
Yeah, Well, I know that the top part of it broke off. So, and it was hanging by the cable, and it was just flopping all over the place, and, well, now it's completely gone.
Yeah, it was inactive, so no harm, no foul, I suppose.
I guess. The other ones look like they're in good shape, though.
Yeah, I think they're fine. May wind up having to utilize them someday. Not sure yet.
You should at least do something with the UHF one.
Well, if Krause Road goes, that's where everything's going to get moved to.
Yeah, that is true.
UHF Link, APRS, and UHF MMBDM will have to live there somehow.
Yeah, I think we can easily make that all live there.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing in that shack now except for the console stuff.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that that's all out there.
Yes, sir. I think six of them are out there.
Oh, six radios, yep. Yeah. And then probably some of the old VHF resources.
Yeah. But there's plenty of room there. That's a big enclosure.
Holy cow, that was almost a bad accident. Somebody needs to take Grandma's license away.
Welcome to Petoskey.
Dude, he just went, like, didn't even look, just went, and I was like, I'm right here.
Yep. Average Petoskey driver behavior.
Well, I'm pulling into the shop.
See what fun awaits me now. And at APX.
Okay, I'm just about to turn on to Lake Street. And ADMH Mobile. DMH Mobile, Charlevoix.
Station calling. This is KD8HTT in Oscoda. I got your signal. Sounded pretty good from Charlevoix. That's a pretty good truck. Anyways, I got my net coming up on my 80 meters, so just want to let you know I got copy on you. So this is Kilo Delta Hotel Tango Tango, Dan, Delta Alpha November. Acknowledging your transmission.
Hey, sounds good. Thank you, sir. Any DMH Mobile.
I only have a second as well. Are you on the 1-9?
Affirmative.
Likes you a lot today. You're about as full quieting as you could possibly want. All right. Are you heading home from there or still working?
Going home. It's been a long day.
Well, it's good that you're gainfully employed and young enough to put in long days, hoping you're hourly in that salary. Anyway, all right, got to run, changing vehicles and doing stuff, but I'll be around. W8RPM, see ya.
All right, catch you later, Ron. NEZ08 mobile.
KF8ENF, good afternoon, Drake.
Hey, what's going on, Bentley?
Not much, man, just winding down the workday.
Yeah, that makes two of us, although I'm not quite done yet. Still got to drive, but I'm winding in the process.
Yeah, back in the days when my job used to really favor being on the road, going to visit customers face-to-face. Got a lot of my best thinking done behind the windshield, man.
Yeah, I would say that seems to be the case for me, too.
Almost as many problems solved when you're behind the windshield as there are at coffee shops amongst old men. And younger dudes in breweries.
Yeah, you got it. Started today in Roscommon and then made the trek all the way up to Petoskey again. So, I was in Roscommon at like 8 this morning. Had to reprogram a radio, but of course it was on a firmware version so freaking old that it took 45 minutes to take the firmware update. You know, when your radio is almost 10 years behind on firmware updates, you'll have that.
Yeah, the cumulative effect. Man, how many miles a year do you put on your vehicle?
Oh, well, I'll put it this way. I got this vehicle in May last year, and I think I got it with 70,000 miles. By the time I get home today, I'm probably going to be over 100K.
Wow, you must have to get an oil change like every month.
Yep, just about. Although, GM doesn't seem to think so. My first oil change interval I did told me to change it after like 8,000 miles, and I was like, that's not going to fly.
Yeah, my truck tells me 10,000 miles, and then it pops up on the dashboard after 5,000 miles, so I get it done at 7.
Stand by, I got a work phone call.
KF8ENF.
And we're back. NEZ08.
Thank you.
KDHTT on frequency.
FTE, mobile and monitoring.
Thank you.